This morning's scripture will come from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Good morning. It certainly is a beautiful day. I hope you've had a wonderful holiday weekend. Happy 5th of July. We have a really great number here this morning. This is wonderful to see. It's a beautiful day. We've had a beautiful time of worship so far, and I'm very appreciative of each one of you is here. If you were here during the adult Bible class, one thing was mentioned about the information age. And I really appreciated that. That's something I think about a lot. And the context was, you know, there's so much information out there, we have to be very mindful of what is true. And always testing everything to make sure that it's true. No matter who is speaking, I would say especially me, make sure that you check. I hope everything is according to the Bible and God's Word, but we should always be checking that. It's almost like a mini generation, like people born from 1978, I think, to 1982, are kind of called Zennials. Yeah. Where we kind of have, it's like we were born in an analog world and we were kids and there was no internet. But by the time we were adults, the internet was everything. And I mean, we all kind of experience that transition if you're older. But yeah, like when I went into middle school as an adolescent, like, you know, the internet wasn't a part of people's everyday lives. And by the time I graduated high school a few years later, like it was, you know, ubiquitous. It was everywhere. It was so important to everything. And that information age is, I mean, that's, it's just hard to overstate, you know, the impact that it's had on our lives. And I remember there was a phrase, maybe it's outdated and maybe nobody even thinks about it anymore, but it was called Web 2.0, which was kind of that transition where the internet went from something that you just kind of looked at to where it was kind of more interactive. And there was like user-created content and people were kind of a part of the internet rather than it just being a digital form of a newspaper or something. And you know, again, that's really just the whole world now. I teach fourth grade, and there are fourth graders who will tell me they had their own YouTube channels. And, you know, kids today say, like, I want to be a YouTuber. Like that interaction, that voice is just what younger people, that's just their world. That's what it is. That's what they know. And I say all that to maybe put this into context some. I wonder if the power of our voice, for even some fourth grader in rural Ohio to be able to speak to the entire world, theoretically that could exist for the rest of time, that message. The power of our voice, I wonder how it's affecting our ability to listen. And when everybody has so much power and so much reach with what they can say, has our ability to listen atrophied a little bit? And that's what I wanted us to think about here this morning. God wants us to be listeners and doers. And I think that the two things kind of go hand in hand. And that's what I believe James is teaching us here. So if you have your Bibles and you want to go to James chapter 1, we'll begin with our scripture reading this morning. But we're going to think about the way that we listen. And then as we close, the way that we put that into action. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And listening is a very powerful thing. There is research and that goes into the different things that happen when you're really listening to someone, and when someone feels like they're being listened to, what it actually does to our brain chemistry when we talk about ourselves, and when someone is listening to us, our ability to understand people's needs and their perspective and how important that is in communication, building trust when you're having conversations with people and they feel like you're listening rather than, you know, someone else dominating the conversation. And it really just, it all goes back to, and again, it's not a coincidence. We should expect it. God tells us to be quick to listen, and then all his research tells us that we were designed to appreciate being listened to. That's who we are. That's part of our design. That's part of our creation. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation where maybe you or maybe the other person, and you kind of get the feeling that rather than listening, they're just thinking about the next thing that they're going to say? It's almost like they have this thought queued up that they want to pass along, and then that's kind of what's in their mind rather than really hearing what is being said. And so a lot of times we just get focused on the things that we say and on things that we want to speak rather than truly hearing the other person. And this passage tells us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And one commentator I saw pointed out that something that, you know, it's again intuitive, but I think having seen it, like it really clicked, is that really goes back to a self-centeredness. Is that we are focused on ourselves and our own thoughts and things that we want to say and our message, rather than being centered on the other person and on what they are saying. The underlying assumption would kind of be that we think that the thing that we have to say is more valuable, is more important than what we're going to hear from the other person. And, you know, I realize I'm saying that in the process of spending 25 uninterrupted minutes speaking and not hearing someone else. Hopefully it's 25. I'm going to try to keep to that. But we see passages like in Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. But I do think we have a problem listening. And not only does that just kind of affect our relationships, but I think that it can affect us in our work as evangelists. Definitely in spreading the gospel, teaching that. Our voice, our actions are extremely important. But I think it's also about listening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, Paul writes, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Paul was saying that basically the way I take it is he was trying to relate to people, whoever he was around. And it wasn't that he gave up his identity. It wasn't putting on some type of fake personality to try to connect with people. But I think he was just trying to see things from their perspective. I think, and it doesn't say it explicitly here, but I think listening is a part of that. Seeing who someone is, thinking about their perspective, listening to them, and then being able to relate to them so that when you do teach them the gospel, you can do so through wisdom. And you can through God and through our prayers for wisdom and being able to do so, provide the gospel in a way that will connect to them. If we're not listening, I don't think we will be as effective as that as God would hope that we could be. And we see in this passage the progression from not listening to speaking and speaking out of turn and speaking too much goes straight into anger and then separates us from righteousness. When we start off by not listening well enough, we speak too much, it leads to anger and it leads to unrighteousness. How many arguments, how many confrontations, how many problems have arisen in our relationships or within the church at large, because people just weren't listening the way that we probably should have. If we really took the time to hear a person's perspective, we sometimes jump to conclusions, which again is maybe a little self-centeredness. We're taking our own interpretations and our own past and our own thoughts rather than hearing someone else out. Someone I work with, you know, people will put like quotes at the end of their emails, like as part of their signature on their emails. One, and you see it often, it does kind of stick with you. Those are kind of effective. It just says, always assume positive intent. And that really sticks with me because it kind of tells us, wait, you know, if we hear something at work or somebody does something, it doesn't have to be at work, anywhere in life. If we kind of jump to that conclusion of what that we think that person meant, rather than stopping and assuming positive intent and giving that person the benefit of doubt and hearing them out on that, I think that's a great way to be slow to anger. If we're quick to listen, we won't get angry as quickly. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Anger, wrath, malice. As Christians, we are desiring to be like God and to have put those things away. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. I hope that we are known as a people who is slow to anger. And James here is writing, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And I think that ties into being slow to anger. If we are a listening people, I think that will cause a lot of potential problems to not be there. So continuing James, he tells us to be very quick to listen. And then he talks about the word being implanted into us. And it kind of, I think, continues with that thought we just had from Colossians. As we become Christians, we put the earthly things away and we move on to something holy, something righteous, something better. In James chapter 1, continuing with verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And that word implanted, I didn't grow up on a farm. I know nothing about agriculture. I don't even really like to eat vegetables, much less work on growing them. So I don't really connect a lot of times with these agricultural analogies. I know you plant something and it grows. But that word implanted, you know, I just kind of think of putting in. But when you really think about, you know, a plant, it goes into soil and it takes root and it grows and it produces fruit. And that's the analogy that we see throughout Scripture. That word, when it's planted in our hearts, and Christ talks about, you know, the good soil and what happens when, you know, righteousness is implanted in our hearts, it takes root, it grows, and it produces the fruit of the Spirit. All these wonderful, you know, connecting things that we have that please God and bind us together as brothers and sisters, it starts with the receptive hearts that we have. And really, I think it connects what we talked about with being a listener with this word being implanted in our hearts. Because we have to be good listeners when it comes to the Word of God. And for that word to be implanted in us, I think it's very important that we not, you know, we talked a few moments ago about when people are thinking about what they want to say in a conversation, when someone else is talking, how that's kind of self-centered and missing the point, and you're not going to hear what you should be hearing. I wonder if sometimes people do that with the Word of God, where they're going into the Scripture with their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own belief, the things that they want the Scriptures to say, and they're not really listening to what God is saying. And I think a lot of false doctrine, and I think a lot of people get pulled away from truth because they are doing that. It requires a degree of meekness and humility to really listen, so that the Word, God's Word, His message, the truth, not our truth or some truth, but the truth, can be implanted in our hearts. And then it will take root and it will lead to the saving of our souls. We can't bring our own ideas. We can't be talking when we should be listening to what God says in His Word. And then as we are listeners and we let that be planted and we let that take root, and it will produce the good actions of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where James goes next in verse 22. To be doers, not just hearers, as important as listening is, and it's essential, it's not the end of God's work in our lives. James 1:22. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Learning is of course good, and listening and hearing are of course good. But I hope that we never take it as being the end point of our relationship with Scripture. Acquiring that knowledge is good, but I think kind of hoarding it up and just kind of concealing it and just growing in knowledge just for the sake of growing in knowledge. Again, learning is good. There's never a bad time to learn, really, especially when it comes to the Bible. But the application is so important. We can't take all of the wisdom of God and seal it into ourselves and not let it affect the way we treat others, the way we go about our lives, and all the good things we can do with it. If we're not doing that, it's almost like we're kind of hoarding this good thing and not letting it out into the world. We, with the Bible, are complete and thoroughly equipped through God's Word for every good work. And that's where it manifests itself in our lives and in our service. The application is we go to others and we listen and we are good examples. In Matthew 5:14, Christ says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So just like James is saying, Christ says, it's not enough to hear. It's not enough to believe. But we need to be doers of the Word. Our good works need to be seen by men. That's going to inspire them. That's going to show them the love of God. That's going to show them the joy that we have in our lives. Now, we cannot forget the last phrase that Christ used in that verse. And I want to make sure I get it right. That they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So as we are that light to the world, as we are visible, as our works are seen, we must in humility remember that God is the one receiving the glory, and that we are conscientious to make sure that we are giving God the glory for the good works that are being done through us. In James chapter 1, we're going to finish with the last couple verses, verses 23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I really respond to this analogy that is used here. It's so different to be actively doing. That's what a disciple is. It's somebody who not only believes and knows, but puts it into practice and lives it and tries to glorify God in doing so. And that analogy of seeing yourself in a mirror and then as soon as you turn away, forgetting what you saw. I mean, it's just such a beautiful example. And I know I felt that before. There are times where I've sat and listened to a sermon, or I've seen a good example, or I've come across something in Scripture, and I've been moved, and I've known what I need to do, and I know I need to be more evangelistic or more outgoing, or I need to do this, or I need to quit doing this. And I'll see that when I'm sitting there listening to the sermon. I'll know that when I'm reading the Bible. But then as soon as I step out the door, as soon as I close the book, and I get back into normal life, that feeling goes away. I looked in a mirror and I saw what I needed to do, but as soon as I turned away, I went right back to normal life. When I was in college, there was we had like a college group. There was a college ministry, and there was a college minister that was overseeing it. And I'm pretty sure I'm remembering this right. It's been a long time ago. But like one of the things I seem to remember him like being concerned about was when people went back home, you know, during a break or in the summer. I grew up in the church, so it wasn't, again, I was going back to a good environment. But some of the people there were not people who grew up in the church. And they would come there, and they would hear, and they would listen, and they would learn, and they would grow. But the minister, I remember him being a little concerned, like, once they go back, and they're in that old environment, and they're around those old friends who knew them differently, you know, it's real easy for us to just go back and forget what we saw when we looked in the mirror and knew the way that we needed to live. And I don't think that's just for young Christians. I don't think that's just for a certain group. I think it's for everybody. We need to be mindful of when we see things we need to do in our lives, things we need to repent of, things we need to grow in, ways that we need to be better servants, that we not forget what we see when we look in the mirror. And as we turn away and we go out into the world and we go out around other people, that we remember what we see so that we can truly be doers and not hearers only. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Christ tells us, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And it's hard for me to hear that and not think about that the kids' song. It's real catchy. And I think it's great that young kids kind of get that story in their head. And it's really about being a doer. Christ said, those who hear these words and do them, that is building your house on the rock. That's the foundation. Living that in our lives. But if we hear them, and then we forget what we see when we turn away, we forget that face that we saw in the mirror, If we turn away and we don't do them, if we hear it and we don't practice it, it's like building our house on the sand. So this morning, I pray that all of us can be good hearers, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and to be doers of the word. Because Christ has given us everything. The hope we have, the joy that we have, the fellowship that we have, and the chance to be with God, to be together in eternity with God, and to be in that love forever. There's just nothing we could possibly imagine that's better. So if you have a need this morning, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need the prayers of the church, we will assist you in any way that we can, if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.